took me losing my daughter to give myself permission to go for the big dreams of massive impact that I had had for 35 years, right? Since I was a kid, I knew I was meant for big things. And part of me was thinking, I want people to wake up before they have to go through something like this.
What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the Healthy Happy Human Podcast. Today I have an awesome conversation with my friend Christine McAllister. Christine is a communications expert. She's a media mogul maven, and she's actually a literal expert on guesting on podcasts, and she's been on some of the top podcasts in the world. Her expertise lies in business and helping connect impact-driven entrepreneurs with their ideal audience, and that's how I met Christine. But when speaking with Christine in person, we really clicked over mindset and how she looked at business and entrepreneurship in general, which I saw a lot of congruence and a lot of similarities with how I look at building a healthy, happy life. So I thought it'd be really cool to have Christine on here so we could talk about how to build a better life, whether it's through health, wellness, mindset, like I like to talk about, or like through Christine does, through building a business, through creating your financial wellness. And that's something that she's a real expert in. So I really think that you guys are going to enjoy this episode, and she brings a unique viewpoint, but still there's a lot there, because as you know, everything is the same, whether it's health, whether it's mindset, whether it's business, entrepreneurship, or relationship, we still want to be better, and the fundamentals are the fundamentals. So without any further ado, please enjoy this awesome conversation with my friend, Christine McAllister. So Christine, my first question for you is, what is a life with passion to you? How do you define a life with passion?
Ooh, good question.
Hard hitting right off the bat.
I like it. I believe it's life and your resources, right? Your time, your energy, your money invested into things that are aligned with what brings you joy, what brings you excitement, right? What brings you whatever your definition of the word passion is. And that looks, as cheesy as it is to say, so different for everybody, because we're all wired so differently. And so, you know, for me, it looks like having space and time to ride my horse. It looks like being able to travel. It looks like being able to work with amazing humans and do things that bring me energy and life on my own terms.
Awesome. I love that last line, life on my own terms. I think that really sums it up well right there. And that kind of brings me into my next question, which is that, you know, you help entrepreneurs become successful and they grow and scale their business. And anyone who listens to this podcast, any of my listeners or anyone who follows me on social media, know that I say often everything is the same. And usually I use fitness as an analogy for life. And I always say fitness is an analogy for entrepreneurship, and health is an analogy for entrepreneurship, and entrepreneurship is an analogy for relationships, and everything is the same. So my question is, what are some of the tactics that you coach entrepreneurs on that you would say are also applicable to living a healthy, happy life?
Yeah. You know, I think that you and I share that belief that mindset is just foundational, right? So a lot of times I see people trying all the things. You could relate this to nutrition, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just give me the quick pill. Just give me the easy button, or let me jump on the latest fad diet, right? And it's the same in business where, oh, there's a new platform, you know, I'm going to make all my money on Clubhouse or whatever it is. And so I think it's recognizing that we all have these tendencies to stop ourselves in one way or another, right? Like you and I were chatting about how we stop ourselves and how done is better than perfect, right? And I think that just understanding that fear is usually the driver for the decisions that we make, whether or not we recognize it, that's maybe what keeps us from putting ourselves out there in relationships, from putting ourselves out there in business, whatever. And I think kind of just understanding basic human nature, if you will, or wiring, right, is super, super helpful, because while I might look at it through the lens of business or marketing or whatever, it's all the same, you know? Like you said, you can sit back and you can go, wow, this person is complaining about this or that, or they say they want this or that, but they're acting this way. Why is that really, right? And it all comes down to, like, just like wearing glasses, the lens through which you see the world, right?
That's awesome. I think that's really interesting. Can you elaborate more on that, about that last bit about the lenses? So how does that change things? What do you mean by the lens through which you see the world?
Yeah. So if you think about how you feel, if you are feeling down about something, right, then literally your brain, like, it's like you're wearing a certain prescription of lenses. Your brain, certain parts of it shut down, certain parts of it become overactive. And you might have one thing that you perceive as negative happening, and then a whole bunch of other negative things come up. They may have been exactly the same as they were this morning, but now you're looking at them through a negative lens because of the connections, the meanings, that the associations, right, that your brain is making. And conversely, right, you wake up, whatever you do to get yourself into an amazing, you know, space of possibility versus doubt and fear. And that possibility just opens up all these different worlds, and the birds are singing and the sun is shining and everything's magical, right? And really, a lot of times I think that we wait for something, right, to put us in one of those places. And I've been going through some health stuff. And one of the things that's been associated with that is some, like, unusual anxiety and some unusual lower moods, and, like, unusual for me, atypical for me. And I've caught myself going, I am letting this thing drive my outlook and my decisions. Whereas normally I would go, oh, I'm feeling this way. Well, here's a tool for that, or here's a tool for that. But instead, kind of getting sucked into it because it's new, and then waking up and going, I don't have to do that. I'm still a powerful creator. Like, yeah, maybe I'm tired, or maybe I'm feeling sad, and I don't have to let that kind of wear those lenses the whole day long. I can still put on another pair.
Right. That's awesome. I mean, I so agree with everything that you just said. And I think that that's, I mean, all obviously super powerful. My question then is, like, what about for people who they feel like they don't get to choose their lenses, right? Like someone like you just said, like you see when you're in that zone, meaning, like you said, I was not as happy, energetic, whatever the thing was, but you notice there's a contrast, but like, usually I'm this way but today I was this way. So, and that's not right. But what if someone is just like, this is just how I am?
Yeah, totally. I think the thing is the suffering it can create, right? If we want to be something different than the way that we are right now. And I think where I have noticed that it can be helpful is if you feel like you're doing something, anything about it, right? So whatever is within your belief system about what you can do to change it, but feeling like you have some kind of choice, right, over something. So if I wake up feeling terrible, what could I do today? Or what call could I make? Or, you know, what different thing could I do to shake things up, right? As opposed to, and I've plenty of times have chosen the latter, being like, I'm sad. I woke up sad. This is how it is. Mm-hmm. Right. And then letting that compound. I mean, some of this is neurochemical. Yes. And we know from epigenetics that some of that we can release on our own as well. Right.
Yeah. I think that that's super powerful. Said the word, you said that to be in control. And I think that that's a very powerful one, and to do what you can do. And I think that's, like, that's the take home for that little bit right there for anyone listening. There's a really good Tom Bilyeu quote. Anyone who doesn't know who Tom Bilyeu is, he created Quest Bars, and he has, like, the biggest podcast in the world. He's, like, my favorite person. But he said recently, I was listening to him, and he said, winning a championship isn't important.
becoming a person capable of winning championships is. And that goes right to what you were saying about, like, I can't control the outcome. I can't control if I am sad or happy, or if I get the sale, or if I lose the weight. But what I can control is the type of person that I am. And I think that goes back to, you had just mentioned the kind of these two different sides, and one being possibility and one being doubt and fear. So how do you see, like, those two being like the two sides of the coin?
I see them related to the different parts of our nervous system, or autonomic nervous system. I think that is a very grounding and helpful way for me to understand it, just in terms of wiring and reactions and chemicals, right? So no matter, you know, if we're into the woo or we're into the science or whatever, it's this idea that, you know, these reactions are happening in our body, that I really believe today we've outgrown a lot of the need for the way that our autonomic nervous system still behaves and is conditioned. And, you know, my body might go into a fight or flight response, freak out over having a conversation with somebody that didn't go the way that I thought it would. Whereas how it was originally designed, right, was to keep me literally alive, right? Mm-hmm. And so these associations, I would classify myself as like a highly sensitive, you know, intuitive, empathic, I feel everything all the time, right? This everything coming at me, heightened senses. And so I feel like I get a lot of opportunities to notice the reactions coming in and whether or not they are useful, and whether I'm like living in fight or flight or freeze, which, you know, if it's designed to keep us alive, right, then it's designed to look for the threats. Mm-hmm. It's the fear. Right? I have a horse, they're prey animals. They might be 1,000 pounds. And like, I one time had a fox run out in front of my horse and he threw me off and ran away because he was so scared of the teeny tiny fox, right? The perceived threat. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, learning how to get ourselves out of that like reactive, right? Where most of us live, and where I think I've lived most of my life until I learned about this stuff, into like more of that response where it's like a conscious choice of, okay, I'm not actually about to die. What could I do about this? What do I feel? What do I think? Right? That's where it opens up those neural pathways to see more possibility that are not important for us, right? When we're in mortal danger, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's super important, what everything that you just said, especially about the understanding that this is human nature, and all of these things that you're saying served us very well for hundreds of thousands, if not tens of millions of years of evolution. Mm-hmm. And we have what I have called, I don't think I made this up, but I don't know where I got it from, but evolutionary mismatch, which is that our society has evolved in such a way at such a rapid pace in the last really 50 to 100 years, especially with technology. Then you add smartphones and the internet on top of that. It's really gone into hyperdrive in the last 20 years. And the human body, the human brain specifically, does not know how to do that. So all of these things that you're saying, all of this anxiety, perceived threats, these are all like people who are experiencing these things should not for any reason feel less than or feel like it's strange, because there is no other way than that. But that's why I like what you just said about a perceived threat and the difference between what that is and a real threat. So, you know, how can someone who, again, is kind of, you alluded to like being more in control of those things. And like, again, I can't just, if everything, again, every time someone raises their voice at me, or every time a horn is honked, that's a perceived threat to me, yes, to my autonomic nervous system, like you said. So how can I get into the driver's seat if that's what's controlling me right now?
Oh, it's such a good question. I feel like this is like a lot of my life's work to study this stuff, just being wired the way that I am. And now I have young children, and of course they're just living out of their unconscious minds all of the time. And I feel like, you know, that's one of probably my biggest job as a parent is to teach them how to self-regulate, right? And so then, of course, I get mirrored all the time when I'm not. But I think, you know, one of my favorite tools along the way has been tapping, EFT, emotional freedom technique. And I think I'll be doing it in the car, and like my 5-year-old will go, "Mommy, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, mommy needs to calm down." You know, I'm tapping on all these parts of my face. And I've been it for me, I've been able to train my nervous system that when I do that, it very quickly is able to start releasing. Like I almost immediately will start yawning.
Can you go just explain what you're saying? So for people listening who aren't on video.
Yeah. So tapping or emotional freedom technique, there's also a type of therapy called EFT, but mm-hmm. like a therapy modality, but this is different. So emotional freedom technique, it was developed in the middle of the last century for people with like severe phobias and traumas, really, really, really debilitating stuff. And it involves just tapping on, it's a form of acupressure. So tapping on different meridian points on the face, on the head, on the chest. And it is able to calm the nervous system down, to take you out of fight or flight more toward rest and digest, mm-hmm. right? Or I just heard the other day, feed and breed, which is like mm-hmm. slightly different. But anyway, and it's very accessible, right? And I think that, you know, there was a time in my life when I didn't feel as comfortable like sitting in meditation and exploring the breath and connecting to the breath as maybe I do now. But following along a YouTube video and tapping on my face and repeating some words back, that felt accessible. That felt really easy to do. And so they had developed it, like I said, these really, really significant traumas and phobias. And then some researchers started finding that you could take it to things that were perceived threats. You could take mm-hmm. it and apply it to things that were, you know, stopping you, or things like procrastination or doubt or whatever. And so now, you know, Brad Yates is one of my favorite EFT practitioners. He's got over 30 million views on YouTube. I had the chance to interview him. He's the real deal. And I think it's just something that's you could really do anywhere at any time. And, you know, yeah. it's accessible.
Yeah. I love that. That accessible is the key right there. And, you know, anyone who listens to the show knows that I'm all about being realistic with these type of things. Right. So people always say, well, yeah, meditate. I meditate for 3 hours a day, but sometimes that's not real. If you're a busy mom with 3 kids, or if you're running 2 different businesses, or if you're driving for Uber and you're doing whatever the thing is, you know, so having things like this, it's never a bad thing to have more tools in your toolbox. So anyone who's listening to this, go check it out. Google this stuff, YouTube this stuff. I'm pretty sure that I actually did read about this in the book, The Body Keeps the Score, which is like one of my favorite books of all time. And so all of this stuff has validity, and anything like this, deep breathing, tapping, stuff that you might brush off at first sight or first hearing about it. There's a reason that stuff like this exists. And there's a reason that stuff like you just said, that we get 30 million views on a video like this. And that's because there is validity to everything, and that the human body and the human brain is far more powerful than most people give it credit for. So I just think that it's always cool to hear about new techniques and different things that I wasn't super aware about. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
My next question though, this is a quote that I took from your Instagram, and I wanted you to elaborate a little bit. And the quote was, "When your mindset is strong, the strategy is simple."
Yeah. So kudos on pulling quotes off my Instagram. I love that. So this is something that I found after coaching thousands of people, is that a lot of times when we come thinking it's a strategy issue, whether it's in business or in life, usually we're way overcomplicating it because there's an underlying issue. It's the thing under the thing, or the thing under the thing under the thing, right? And in business, one of the biggest drivers, I think, of success or indicators of success is your ability to develop self-trust, or your ability, if you already have it, to follow through on that. And if you trust yourself, then you can give yourself the gift of like listening to, well, what do I think is best? Rather than opening 50 tabs in your browser and Googling until your brain is just overwhelmed and shutting it down, right? Or scrolling until you're numb and then not taking any action. And I think it's the same in life, right? If we're wanting to build these healthy habits, for wanting to build these happy habits, and or wanting to become a person who embodies these things, there's no lack of information. But if we just start Googling it, right? I need a better strategy. I need a better thing. I need a better this, as opposed to going, no, if I believe that, like, I could start small, that I could choose one thing today to do for 5 minutes, as opposed to, you know, my natural overachieving tendency is to be like, I'm going to clean out all of the junk related to this today. And every minute of this day will be obsessively devoted to being different 100% than it was yesterday, right? Not sustainable, not how we make change. So instead going in with like, it's okay to make a small change today, to notice how that feels, right? Having the mindset of like being kind to yourself, of being willing to try things, rather than that. I think a lot of times the having the perfect strategy can come from like being really hard on yourself and wanting to do something perfectly. And so then we do spin out in needing the one thing that's going to fix us, as opposed to that attitude of like playing mm-hmm. with what actually feels best here.
Yeah, I love that. Listening to your body, listening to yourself, and having that, again, as you said, trust is so powerful. And it's much harder than it sounds. It's, you know, all of this stuff is easier said than done. But that actually really reminds me of, literally, this just happened to me today. I was actually on a call with one of my coaching clients, my one-to-one clients. And, you know, we do health and wellness and happiness and a lot of mindset coaching. But when we were talking about goals for the upcoming months, a few months ago, one of the things that we had talked about was she really wanted to declutter her house, and that, like, you know, that the clutter was overwhelming, and that was always something she put off because the clutter just got bigger, and then she would put it off more, whatever. So today we were talking, and it was like, okay, so, you know, what's one thing that you could do to move you in the right direction? And she's like talking about this pile of just clutter, not like dirt, but just clutter, you know, like stuff that needs to be gone through. And the pile just keeps getting bigger. And she's like, yeah, like, I know I need to get to that corner, but like, I keep, you know, like, I'll get to it later. And I was just like, this is my challenge for you. Change one thing about that corner. Like, before you're on your way out of the house, take one thing out and throw it away, or whatever it is. And then she texts me. She's like, I took the pile of like giveaway clothes that was over there, and I threw it away. I was like, awesome. She's on her way to the gym. I was like, my next challenge, when you come back from the gym, before you hop in the shower, before you do anything, do one more thing, just one more small change, 1% better. I don't want to, don't do more than one thing, just one thing. And then she texts me. She's like, she texts me a picture of before and after. She's like, there was a brown bag over there, and like, now it's gone. And literally just from those two things, you could see a space, an open up, like you could see the picture of her before and after. She moved one bag and one brown paper bag and one trash bag full of clothes. And in that, I could see like the room start to open up. And I'm like, you literally can see this change happening from the smallest thing. I asked her, like, what's the smallest possible thing you can do? And I was like, how does that feel? She was like, oh, like, I feel like I can get a little space and breathe. I'm like, okay, so what's the next thing? She was like, I'll do that again. I was like, so what, imagine you just did that every day for the next week, of just moving one thing every time. It's like, it doesn't have to be reinventing the wheel. It doesn't have to be so overwhelming. Not only does it not have to be, it shouldn't be, because when it's so overwhelming, it's like you said, it becomes almost like paralyzing, and it right. becomes this thing of like, well, I can't start that now because I don't have time to finish.
Totally. All or nothing.
All right? Or nothing. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Like 5 minutes or less.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that actually kind of goes into my next question that I had written here. Again, I have some questions written down and some that I don't. I'm just kind of riffing, but I did write this question down because, again, this is a lot about what you teach. My question is, why is it so important for people to give themselves permission to do what they want? And what is that permission?
You know, there is this hospice nurse named Bronnie Ware. Have you ever heard of her before?
I know the story, yes.
Okay. So I started this business. I ran a business before this, and I started this business, had an online marketing agency for a decade. Started this business after I unexpectedly lost my first daughter at full term.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was 6.5 years ago, and it had been a perfect pregnancy until the end. And I was like waiting to go into labor, and went to one of my last doctor's appointments, and they were like, your baby died. Like, we have no idea why, but she did. And so I took you know, a deep look at my life, used that as a turning point, became determined to make something good out of this horrible tragedy and trauma that I had experienced, and to make a bigger impact, and to figure out what that was, and then to walk it out. And the reason that I bring that up is because it took me losing my daughter to give myself permission to go for the big dreams of massive impact that I had had for 35 years, right? Since I was a kid, I knew I was meant for big things. And part of me was thinking, I want people to wake up before they have to go through something like this. And I also believe that, hey, we're humans. We've been around a few decades. We are all walking around with a lot of trauma and crap, whether or not we see it as such, whether or not we've worked on it. And so the reason that I brought up Bronnie Ware is because I really identified with the number one regret of the dying that she shares in her book, which is like, I wish I had lived a life that was true to who I was rather than who everybody else wanted me to be. And we all have ways in which we do this, right? To fit into our community, to fit into our tribe. But at our core, I think we all have these opportunities to realize how unpredictable and how short life can be. Losing my daughter was the big one for me. And to go like, wow, I really am playing small. I'm really running this business because it's comfortable. And because, you know, it feels more comfortable than change. And so when it comes to giving ourselves that permission, I think it's different for everyone. You know, some of my clients are like, I want to live with a zero regrets policy, right? Mm-hmm. And some people, I would say I'm more along the lines of like, I feel like one of the lessons I'm here to learn is trust and figuring out how to trust that things are working for me, even when it looks like that makes no sense whatsoever. And so I think for me, it's giving myself permission to go, this might not make any sense to try it, but I'm going to try it because I want to. Right. And I think with that, giving ourselves even the tiniest bit of permission and trying something that's actually right, how we build confidence as opposed to waiting to feel confident enough to do it, which doesn't happen.
Right. So much that you just said there. For one, I just really want to thank you for sharing that about your daughter and about that you went through. And I mean, I'm sorry for when people go through traumatic events, because I don't think that it really does anything. And I'm sure that this is something that, you know, everyone tells you a million times, but I think that that's amazing that you took that and what moved so powerfully with it and used, I don't think this is any stretch of the imagination to say like probably the worst thing that could happen to a human, and then took that and were like, okay, I'm going to now use this to step into my power and my light and use this to move forward, which is an amazing thing. And I can't like even phrase how crazy that is. So that's an amazing one. But what you also said was that people stay the same because it feels more comfortable than change. Yeah. And that actually is one of the questions that I have written down here is, can you, and you can be a hypothetical you, or you can be you, Christine, motivate someone to change if they're not ready?
Ooh, that's a really good question. You know, in my experience, direct, like trying to motivate them probably in the way that we think about it by talking at them about it. No, I think that creates more resistance, right? Because whether or not any of us own it, most of us want it to be our idea, right? And I also think that I look at people who have done something that I want and have shared about it, and then they motivate me but because they're sharing and living their life. And then it is my idea, right? Even if they shared it so that I would be motivated. And it's interesting because before I started helping people in business, I was always trying to convince someone in my family or friend group to like run their own business when they were firmly entrenched in, you know, working in a job or whatever. And it was definitely throwing pearls before swine, right? And they didn't want anything to do with it. And so they didn't do anything with it. And then when I started helping people who actually, that was a goal, and it was like, oh, right, this is the deal, right? It was their idea. So that's what I would say about that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that that's such an important point that you just made about one, you can't motivate someone to do something. And this is the whole thing of, you know, you can lead the horse to water, you can't make them drink. And no matter what, that someone, it has to come from within. And that's why the very first episode of this podcast, the episode one that I ever did, is called Start With Why, because it's all about finding your why if you want a big change. But I think what's important that you just said there is that how you can be motivated is by seeing someone else do it and seeing them lead by example. So for anyone listening to this, what you can take from that is to understand that the best way to do well for others is to do well for yourself, right? If you're a parent and you want your kids to do better, you can't yell them into submission, but you can go out for a hike and then they'll join you. If you are a business leader, you can be the person who shows up early and stays late, and then your subordinates will take that cue from you. But telling people to do something because you brought up the word, you said this before and I lost the word, but agency and autonomy are the two deepest human needs. Mm-hmm. No human wants to be controlled by another human. So inherently, and that's why on this podcast or in my coaching or in my social media, I will never tell someone what to do. People come to me, they're like, oh, just tell me what to do. But I can't, because if I did that, it would lose all its potency. So all I can do is say, hey, here's some tips. Here's what I would do if I was in your situation. Here's some things that have helped my clients in the past, but I will never tell someone this is what you have to do, because inherently, and you're a parent, you know this, anyone who is a parent or deals with children or anything, or again, subordinates, if you're a business owner, when you tell someone to do something, they go 180 degrees in the opposite direction. So I think that that is such a powerful thing, but you can motivate them simply by not trying and simply by doing the damn thing yourself.
Yep. I was, I got up a little bit before my daughter in at dark 30, when she first started going to school this year. And I would sit on the couch in my robe and just do a meditation and prepare myself for the arguments and the resistance of getting ready for school that would come. And after a couple of days, she asked me what I was doing. And I said, I'm doing a morning meditation. Don't you know, we now do a morning meditation, my five-year-old and I, every morning at 6:30, first thing when she comes down. And I was like, this is great, right? This is that's fun for me. That's the stuff I want to teach her. But it took me sitting there, you know, by example to do it.
Right. Yeah. That's my favorite thing to ever hear. Most of my clients tend to be parents, often single parents, but not always. But my favorite type of feedback is always things like that. It's never stories of, oh, I lost 10 pounds. It's stories like one of my clients who, I have a 10-step morning routine that I give away to all my clients. I give it away on the podcast too. You can scroll back. There's an episode called My Morning Routine Checklist. It's a free download if you're listening to this and want it. But he literally, his son goes through the whole 10-step morning routine with him. And one of those things is a cold shower. And one of those things is meditating. And one of those things is exercising. And he has his 9-year-old son doing all of this stuff, but it was not because he told him to do it. It was because he was just doing it. And his son saw daddy doing it. And he wanted to do the thing that dad was doing. So I think that for, you know, parents, for anyone, that's like such a powerful lesson. And the last question that I want to ask you, well, not last question, second to last question that I want to ask you, your podcast, which I love, it is on my rotation always, is called No One's Ever Asked Me That. So what I'm wondering is, what is one question that no one ever asks you, but you wish they did?
Ooh, that's a great one. I think it would be along the lines of a mindset question of, what do you really think is going on when people don't, let's say, get what they want in business, or, you know, help people get on podcasts. So, right, from a podcast or whatever, you know, it's something that I ponder a lot, because we're so strategy and we're so focused and we're so results driven, right? And usually maybe in one-on-one conversations where I'm coaching, we might get to the thing where I ask something like that. But I just think so many people wind up feeling like there's something wrong with them because the strategy that they tried, that everybody else is trying, didn't work for them, or they've been sold a line about how business or life is supposed to go, right? Weight loss, parenting, whatever, supposed to make you meditating, you know? And it's something that I've been thinking a lot about because I think it's so much of it is tied to perception, right? And our perceived attributions to things. And I think most of us don't really take a step back to look at how that's affecting whatever area of our life we're finding ourselves frustrated in.
So if I'm understanding what you're saying, it's like people are, you said people their perceived attributions to, so if someone isn't getting the success that they're looking for in whatever area, again, business, relationships, fitness, whatever, it's all the same. Yeah. They're attributing that, they perceive it to be, oh, well, it's the workout or it's the business plan or it's the coach that I hired. But in reality, they should be looking somewhere else.
Yes, right. It's that lesson of, of course, all these people in your life can be helpful, but most of the time we don't stop long enough to consider, is it simply just the way I'm thinking about this, right? And I can give you a really or feeling about this. This is like raw and real and like in process right now for me because I recently been diagnosed with long COVID and I've had some crazy symptoms that I just didn't, that freaked me out for several months. And I thought, what is happening? I'm such a healthy person, right? And I had a very, very mild case. And so going, wow, you know, I'm not showing up the way that I would love to, or the way that I did 6 months ago, or, you know, I'm not feeling the same. Like, this is what is happening to my body and what does it all mean? And wanting to be like completely freaked out and catastrophize everything because it's scary, right? But then also to go like, what if I look at this as a gift? The only reason that I'm freaking myself out about it, besides whatever changes have happened in my brain, right, is that I am choosing to look at it back to our full circle with a certain pair of lenses, mm-hmm. right? And I just think we don't have those conversations enough. And that winds up with us abdicating a lot of responsibility for our own lives, back to the agency and the autonomy. And we don't even know we're doing it. It's unconscious because it's how most people do it. And I think that even just a little bit of an examination there of like, what if I'm just making that meaning, but that's not actually a thing. I could flip everything on its head.
Right. Right. And for people listening, and I think again, what's important here, what I'm taking away from this is that the thing is happening, right? You just said, I have long COVID. My health is not where I want it to be. That we can't change, but the meaning behind it mm-hmm. is up to us to decide. Meaning it can be, this is unfair. This is what the hell? I had a mild case. How am I still dealing with this 6 months later? Or the meaning could be, whoa, 100,000 people have died from this in the last 2 weeks. And I know a guy with long COVID who hasn't been able to exercise at all. And that, you know, like he's been losing weight for the last 20 weeks and is wasting away to nothing. And that's the meaning that I choose to put on it. And the lens that I choose to look on it through, it's the same situation. We're not changing what is, we're changing the thought around it. And that in turn dictates how we are able to move forward with this.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
I love that. And that's so powerful. And my last question, this actually is my last question that I ask every one of my guests is, I mean, you did already 15 different times, but what is one piece of advice, one action step that people can take from listening to this right now today to move forward and start living a healthier, happier life? It can be fitness, mindset, motivation, nutrition, business. It doesn't matter. Just something that can make them happier, healthier in any way.
I think it goes back to what you were saying about your conversation with your client and the clutter client. I really believe in the power of when you're feeling overwhelmed, setting a timer for 5 minutes on your phone. You know, Mel Robbins has the 5 second rule. I'm not trying to, you know, jump on that, but the 5 minute rule or whatever challenge where you just go, look, I'm going to pick stuff up, or I'm going to vacuum, or I'm going to clean up my desktop. That's always one for me. Screenshots for 5 minutes. And then if I want to stop, I can stop. And then if the dopamine encourages me to keep going, I can keep going. Right. But either way, it's like the tiniest. I just up-leveled a level in Pilates and I can barely walk. So, and coughing and laughing hurts also, which is great. You know, I love that kind of sore. And it's like, okay, Christine, maybe you don't go to another Pilates class this week because then you literally might not be able to walk, right? As opposed to, you know, wanting to go all in and then injure, right? So how can I do 5 minutes of the thing that's overwhelming me or that I'm procrastinating on right now? Because I'm going to be so proud of myself and that's going to spill over into every other area of my life because it's all the same.
I love that. 100% actionable. Again, that last little bit, I will be proud of myself when I do it. And that's why this stuff is so powerful. It's not about what you accomplish in 5 minutes. It's about that you accomplished something and that you proved to yourself that that's the type of person that you are. So if you're listening to this, as soon as this podcast ends, set a 5 minute timer. Christine just challenged you and so am I, and then go do something that you've been procrastinating. And now the last thing I just want to always ask Christine is just, you know, for people who want to get to know you more, I'm obviously going to have a ton of links in the show notes with all the stuff that you're doing, but where can people find you? Where should they go hear you talk more and all the cool things that you're doing?
Ooh, thank you. You know, I guess this is going to get a little bit meta, but because you have a podcast and I have a podcast and we love podcasts, the thing that I'm doing the most right now is helping people get on podcasts. And so if that's something you have any interest in, I have a checklist that you can grab at bit.ly/podcast-guesting-checklist. And even if you're just curious about what it takes to get on a podcast because you love Paul and you know, you're like, this thing is really cool, this podcasting thing. And you know, there are almost 2.7 million podcasts as of the time of this recording. That would be a way to get in touch and that'll get you into my world. And I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. Yeah. And I actually just downloaded that checklist right before we got on this call. So I'm in there with you already. All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Christine. Thank you for being here and have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. So boom, there it is. There you have it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I hope you took a lot out of it. I hope you enjoy me branching out and bringing on some other experts outside of the health, fitness, and mindset space. I like talking to entrepreneurs. I like talking to people who work in other fields like media and communications, because again, I always say everything is connected. So I know that there's a lot of value here. And Christine's story is amazing, as you just heard. So please make sure to check out her stuff. If you are a fellow podcaster, she's definitely a person to know. So check out her stuff. Check out her podcast. No one's ever asked me that. If you're into entrepreneurship or you're trying to build your own business, she has a ton of great speakers on there, a ton of people that you can learn a lot from. As always, if you got value from this, please share it with someone. If you have a friend who's an entrepreneur, a podcaster, into communications, anything like that, send this to them. Help them out. And until next week, stay healthy, stay happy. I love you. Keep in touch. Peace.